Reformed Church.
Thinking about like what God calls us, like how we are in reality versus how sometimes by feelings or actions, how you might feel, right? And I just started to jot down a ton of ideas, just things that I was thinking about. And I thought, you know what, this is probably pretty cool just to share quickly. But if we read just, you know what, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 7. And this is Paul, you know, he's correcting the believers in Corinth. But these believers, obviously they're believers, they're Christians, right? And it's interesting how he does it. He corrects them by saying, like, look at the stuff that you're doing, and that stuff is the stuff that people that don't know God, right, that's the kind of stuff that they do, right? But you, though, right, you're so different, right? You've been made new. Like, why would you ever think that, like, it's okay for you to act that way? Like, it's beneath you to be that way, right? That has nothing to do with who you are, and, you know, so that's kind of, you know, sort of the sentiment, I think, behind this. But in verse number 7, 1 Corinthians 6, 7, he says, now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? It says, no, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren, right, to your brothers and sisters. Do you not know that the unrighteous, and that's an important thing to look at there, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will enter the kingdom of God. Verse number 11 says, and such were some of you, right? So he points out all this stuff, and he's not saying that because you cheat and you lie and you lie to one another and you do these things to each other, that's what I'm calling you. He's saying these are things that people do that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, but such were some of you. But he says, but you were washed, meaning that this is something, you received Jesus already. This is something behind you. You were washed, you were sanctified. It says, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So, you know, the interesting thing, just something to think about for you. If you do or you say something rude, right, does that make you a rude person, right? If you look at someone's car, right, and you desire to have what's theirs, right, does that make you a covetous person, right? If you are, me and Ms. Kim were doing a lot of driving the last several days, but if you're being impatient behind someone in a car, right, and you're passing them and you're making illegal moves, like, does that make you an impatient person? Or a better way to even say it for a Christian is, if you do something impatient, or you do something rude, or you have a covetous thought, right, does that undo, right, does it change the new creation that you have been made? Like, we were made a new creation. So does an impatient act then make you impatient, which means does it undo the work of Christ, right? Does it undo the new creation that you have been made because you did something impatient, because you were rude, right? And obviously, the reality of that is, of course it doesn't, right? You can't undo the work of Jesus Christ. When he made you a new creation, that is what you are. But what happens a lot of times in the way that we speak, you know, sometimes the things that we say, oh, I'm just like that. I'm just an impatient person. You hear Christians say that. I'm just an impatient person. You know, that's just my personality. So we have this thing of identifying with supposedly how we are, quote unquote, right? Not really understanding how we are, right? Because if you really knew who you are, and you were being reminded, like Paul was trying to remind them, like, you were washed, you were cleansed, you were made new, right? You're a brand new creation. The things that you're still exhibiting, those things have passed away. Like, look, all everything has become new, and everything that you are is of God, right? But sometimes because of what we see, and I totally believe that is still just left over living by sight, right, and not living by faith, not living or judging yourself, right, based on just Jesus, right, which is really, I don't know if it's really, you can even say it's a judgment of yourself. You're just beholding the Lord and you're seeing who you are, right? But it's just an interesting thing to think about. When it has to do, you know, with who you are, I know, you know, this really quickly spills into righteousness, right? But obviously we are the righteousness of God in Christ, right? And you see, you know, in Abraham's case, just because I felt really good about just reading in Genesis about Abraham's righteousness and how righteousness was imputed to him. But it's an interesting thing that after, you know, he believed the Lord and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, right? He was made righteous because of his faith in Jesus Christ and no other reason. You know, he did, like, I just started thinking about it a little bit. Not that you want to necessarily think about people's mistakes, but I was looking at that in light of his righteousness, right? Like, he told his wife, right? And I know you've heard this before, but just think about it for a second. He told his wife, you know, I'm afraid of what these people are going to do to me. So in order for me to protect my own skin, why don't we just say that you're my sister, right? Now, the thought process behind that was because then if they want to take you as their wife, you know, they won't kill me. But what about the fact that they're taking you as his wife? Like, how about that part? Like, I don't even know why she even agreed to it, but the point is, right? Say that you're my sister so that what? So that they can take you into this king's or this pharaoh's harem, right? If that's what Egyptians call it. But then you're fine. And not only that, then I may be adding a little too much to this, but from the context, it really seems like he was being prospered. Like, in other words, like Pharaoh was treating Abraham very good because he's the brother of this great-looking woman, right? So he was being prospered in the middle of this, but the point is just that he was receiving, like, goods, and I don't know for how long he was okay with this stuff, but he was growing in wealth while his wife is enslaved to this dude, right? And this is okay for a while, right? So, but this is a righteous man doing things, right, that seem so wrong, and yet the Lord, because of who he is, I mean, I know it's maybe a little bit of a strong word, but not even caring about what he's doing. I know the Lord doesn't encourage and he doesn't empower, right, things that are wrong that we would do. But the point is that the Lord didn't go to Abraham and say, look at all the stuff you're doing wrong. He went to Pharaoh and he plagued Pharaoh is what it says. It doesn't actually say to Pharaoh, that I can recall, that the Lord actually spoke to him. It's just that he plagued Pharaoh. So Pharaoh was cursed, right? And all of that because the Lord made a promise to a man, because you have faith in me, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And had no regard whatsoever to Abraham's actions. It's just the way it is. I will bless those that bless you and curse those who curse you. And you could, you know, sometimes we get into this thing again because of our actions. Well, that was my fault, and my wife is suffering because of me, and I have to try to get her out of this mess. I got her into it. I'm going to have to get her out of it. It was the Lord that got Abraham and Sarah out of that mess, right? Regardless of who was feeling, quote-unquote, responsible. This is not a license for irresponsibility and for cowardice and a whole bunch of other things that you can call. But the thing is, it's just to look at the righteousness of a man despite all the mistakes that he makes, right? Look at how the Lord blessed Abraham when it says that I think it was like four kings that came and took over the country where Lot was in. I believe that Sodom and Gomorrah were in that mix, and Lot is taken, and yet the Lord says, you know what, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And Abraham goes in with 318 men, I think it was, 318 men against four armies, right? Because I don't think it was 300 men that did what they did, but it doesn't account for the number of men, but still it was four armies of four different cities or nations, right, that came and took all those goods. And yet the Lord blessed Abraham and fought against and took vengeance against anyone that had anything to do with him. So it's just, you know what, can I tell you? It's just a good, I thought it was just an awesome thing just to be thinking about when you think of, you know, who you are and who you are to God. Like the Lord calls you, and I just wrote down like 1 Peter 2:9, but the Lord calls you. He says that we're his chosen generation. We're his royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, his own special people. You know, like he calls us blameless. He calls us righteous. He calls us his people without a single fault in the sight of the Lord. It just, when you see what the Lord calls us, and then you see how falsely we judge ourselves because we do something, and it's, man, like, I'm so impatient, man, like, Lord, like, and we take identity from the thoughts we have, which, you know, I haven't thought this through entirely, but I just think that even guilt for things that you do, right, can almost come from that. There's a bit of identity that's in that, like, Lord, like, I keep doing this. Oh, look at this thing that I did, Lord. Or how could I have done this? Like, when you say, like, how could I have done this, right? It just, there seems to be an element just of identity there. It's not like we're shocked that we did something. Like, this is not in my nature. This is not how the Lord made me. Like, this is not what I'm about. And you begin to just acknowledge Jesus and acknowledge who you are, right? And just turn your face away from whatever it was that happened. But we take such time to delve into what it was that occurred, right? When all along, like, if you see, like, how is it, Lord, that you see me? Like, how do I look to you right this very moment? What do you think about me? And just let the Lord rain those thoughts into your mind, what he thinks about you and what he speaks over you. You know, to bless is to, another way to say that is, like, I've seen in just, like, just from a concordance perspective, right? I don't, right now, I don't have a biblical proof for this, but, you know, just to kind of, like, to speak well of, right? But the thing is, like, when the one that we want to allow to speak well to us, right, is to be able to hear your Father speak well of you, like what he thinks about you. And I tell you what, that would change drastically how you see yourself, not living by sight in that respect, judging yourself a certain way because of what you see, but a constant reminder and acknowledgement to say, Lord, you're the one. You know, as we've been talking for years about acknowledge the Lord in this, acknowledge the Lord as your wisdom, acknowledge the Lord as your help, acknowledge the Lord as your patience and your temperance and all this stuff, right? Acknowledging the Lord as the one that is the only one that truly knows who you are, right? Jesus said, no one knows the Father except me. And to those whom I desire, right, who I will to reveal my Father to, right? But the truth is, no one knows you except the Son and the Father. No one really actually can know you except a brother or sister in Christ that sees the Lord correctly and Jesus and the Father. There's nobody else on this planet that knows who you are, right? So whenever you judge yourself differently than how Jesus or the Father would look at you and how they would call you, obviously you're speaking badly about yourself. So the people that say, oh, how you doing? I'm blessed. I hope that means that they speak well of themselves, that they understand how well the Father speaks of them, right? So just a cool thing to remember.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformedchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.